What's up, man?
Yeah, what's good? How you feeling?
How you doing today?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, you look good.
I'm trying to be.
You
like
always
you.
Look good though. Every time I see you, you look healthy. You look stealth.
Stealth. I ain't even heard that
come
before.
Come on, man. I'm bringing the energy. You good though?
I'm good. I'm trying to be like you.
Nah, man. You know what I mean? Congratulations on a new job.
Appreciate that.
That's
man.
Exciting news.
Yeah, it's a huge move.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
You ready to start the show?
Let's do it.
All right, bro. Welcome, everyone, to an all-new episode of Thick Ass Threes. I am your host, Cornell Feltman. I'm back with the boys, Stephen J. Miles, Coach Bobby Terry, and, of course, we have Stanley Allen. An all-new episode happening now. Lego!
Let's go.
Welcome, everyone, to an all-new episode of Thick Ass Threes. I'm your host, Cornell Feltman. We got a great show for you today. Unfortunately, I'm in the studio by myself, but I got my man here with me. We'll get to him soon. But let's go through the paperwork and make sure you guys know all the important information. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok at Thickest Threes. This podcast hosted on Anchor with all episodes available on Spotify. There's some other platforms. So if you go to anchor.fm/ Thickest Threes. There's some information on there with the different platforms. Check us out. I think that's all that I need to talk about. Shout out to Steve. Shout out to Stanley and Coach Bobby Terry. Unfortunately, they couldn't be here today. They got some things going on. Shout out to Stanley's daughter, who's graduating today from Mary Washington.
Let's go.
Which is very exciting.
The U.
Is that what it's called?
It is now. Okay.
So congratulations to her. That's awesome stuff. All right, man. We're going to get into the show. Today, we have a very special guest. Player, good guy, family guy, my alma mater, Hayfield. He's a Hawk. He's a Hayfield guy. Had a great career there at Hayfield. He was a first team all district guy. Played in the backcourt with one of his very good friends, Mike Lee. How's he doing, by the way?
He's good, man.
Is he good? Yeah. He just had another kid.
Yeah, he got two kids.
Come on, man. There's too many kids.
Life's great. Hey, man.
Hey. Oh, God. Went on to play college basketball. Had a great career. Came up just short of 1,000 points because he had a soft ankle injury. But we'll also get into that. Ladies and gentlemen, we got AJ Fitzgerald in the building.
What's up?
AJ, what's up with you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Look, I appreciate you calling me great, but then when you say it, it don't count because, like,
come on, man,
you like real live great.
Nah, bro,
I'm just a guy that had a little success.
No, you had a lot of success. I wish I was there to see it. What year did you play?
2001 to 2003 on the varsity level.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was in college, so I didn't get a chance to see you play. Yeah. I never saw you play in high school.
It's crazy. But when you came back, we did work out.
We worked out a lot.
Good time, Jay. Yeah,
yeah. But I never saw you play in high school. Damn, you got tape. Were you on tape or DVDs?
Oh, VHS, baby. You got to hit the track button, everything. And that's why we lost to Cave Springs in the state semifinals.
Why is that?
Because we had to watch a VHS of JJ Redick. We like, yeah, he aight.
He's way more than all right. Who was on your team?
Chris Cardellis, James Stewart, Jamar Claxton, Mike Lee.
Okay, so is that your starting five?
Starting five, yeah.
And what year was that?
02.
02.
02, yeah.
You lost in the Final Four or the state championship game?
Final four.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, man. We're going to take
JJ, man. Let's do it.
JJ did it. He did a lot. How many points do you have?
Against us, he had 34.
Who was guarding him?
Chris. And I got guarding a few possessions. I mean, you just throw everybody at him.
Did if I remember correctly, did Chris have a broke ankle?
He did.
And he still played, still guarding
him? Through it. You know, Chris a dog.
Chris is a dog. I haven't seen Chris. We got to shout out Chris. We got to get Chris around so we can talk to him. All right, man. We're going to get into it. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with AJ. Welcome back, guys. You're listening to Thick Ass Threes. We're here with AJ Fitzgerald. AJ, you ready to get into this?
Let's do it, man.
All right, man. First question for you. As a young husband, basketball coach, how do you balance... being a coach myself, not married, but I know it's a lot of work. We put in a lot of hours at the gym. How do you balance your home life versus your gym life and how much time you spend at the gym?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's almost impossible to do. But when I got into coaching and got serious about it, I knew that it was my responsibility to kind of be the best version of myself in every aspect of my life. And so therefore, I kind of had to take care of me first, right? So, I mean, like, getting sleep, not drinking as much. Like,
are you an 8-hour guy?
I can't be. I would love to be.
With the kids, like, are you an 8-hour guy?
I'm more of like a 6-plus guy.
6-plus? Okay, beautiful.
You know what I mean? So, like, so by 10 o'clock, like, I'm out. You know what I mean? Which means I miss the Suns games and all that fun stuff. But, you know, you have to so that you can put a lot of time into your family and in basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long you been married?
It'll be 10 years September.
10 years September.
Yeah.
I remember your wedding.
It's great time.
You remember that room y'all put me in?
The baby room.
The baby room? Ladies and gentlemen, they put me in a baby room. But I'll talk about that later on Instagram or something. I'll tell you all about that. And the place was haunted and he didn't tell nobody. Yo, did you know that?
I didn't. I found out that weekend.
That's crazy.
When y'all talking about it.
All right. Anyway.
And breakfast the next day.
Meg, shout out to Megan. Yeah. So how does she play a role in what you're doing? Because obviously she has to be a part of what you're doing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had a lot of conversations, a lot of arguments, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And just trying to manage time and putting that burden on her, you know. So her commute is about 45 minutes going one way, you know what I mean? So on days I have practice, you know, in season, say she gets home at 6, it's kids until bed or whatever time practice is, or it's game night. You know, so there's a lot of work on her side too to be supportive and in that regard. So for us, man, this is really just trying to like not like share responsibilities, but just like dive in and do whatever it takes to get the job done.
Sure.
And so on the weekend stuff, I do my best to kind of take the load and give her free time or just let her kind of drive. Whatever she wants to do, we do. And try to get to the next day.
You know? Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Makes sense to me. At the top of the show, we kind of hinted at you getting a new job.
Yeah.
So congratulations again on the new job.
Thank you.
Let's tell the people where you will be coaching next year.
Yeah. So I'll be coaching and teaching at Hayfield.
That's exciting. Oh, you're teaching there as well?
Teaching there as well.
Beautiful. What are you going to be doing?
P. P. Elton P. Yeah, yeah.
You were at
I was at Sandberg.
Sandberg. Sandberg. I wanted to say Mount Vernon.
No, you're good.
Close enough.
Yeah, cool.
You'll be at Hayfield. That's exciting. So tell us, I did the interview with Carlos and he talked about you wanting you to be there. I didn't know at the time that you guys had some stuff working behind the scenes, obviously. But, you know, just talk about how that came about and your process. You were at?
I was at South County.
At South County.
Yeah.
Okay.
For four years.
Yeah. So where were you before that?
I was at Hayfield coaching freshman team.
Okay. At Hayfield to South County. And, won a state championship.
Once they kind of, down. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
All right. We can talk about that if you want to. Kind of. So tell us, how did you come about getting the Hayfield and the job and everything?
This guy,
come on, man.
Punch me. All right. So, we'll go back little bit before I got into being a PE teacher.
Talk to me.
So I was doing patent law. I did that for 12 years, and I was coaching and all that kind of stuff. And you start having kids. It got way too much. And I wasn't even passionate about patent law. I was just kind of chasing the buck. And then I finally caught the buck and I was like, this isn't fun anymore. So I was like, well, what do I love doing? I love coaching. I love working out. So put that into the school system, frees up my time now where I can coach and teach and kind of take care of the kids and all that kind of stuff. So 2 years ago, got a job at Carl Sandburg, teach health and PE. And I'd always wanted to get back to home, right? And so last February, I got word that there was going to be a position possibly opening up at Hayfield.
Okay.
And so finally, April timeframe, it happened. I applied. I got it. And then one day, Locious heard through the grapevine, people were talking. I was like, yo, you know he's going to teach here next year. And then we was like, yo, so like, what's this with the hoop side of it?
So you talking to Carlos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like he reached out to me after people had told him that I was coming back to teach Hayfield.
Got it.
You know what I mean? Because I was going to stay at South County. Like South County is great. I enjoy everybody over there.
Sure.
And I was going to stay there. But over time, I live mad close to Hayfield.
Mm-hmm.
My kids go to Hayfield Elementary. I'll be working there. Like it's tough to not go.
Sure, makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? But I got relationships over there. It's been over 4 years. Absolutely. I got guys that are about to be seniors. That I've seen grow up from that rising freshman league, you know, doing things a certain way. You see them grow up, get stronger, taller, better basketball players. You don't want to necessarily leave them.
Absolutely.
You know, and then, but at some point, it's like, you're going to have to leave somebody at some point. And it was like, what's best for my family and I? And making this move was. So I'll be a Hayfield guy through and through now.
That's exciting.
You know.
And you're coming in at a good time after winning a state championship.
Yeah, one state championship.
So you definitely, I mean, you got one and a half. if you were there.
Chill.
Beforehand.
Let's talk about it. Same thing you brought up. Let me hear.
I don't want to talk about it. I mean, congratulations to you.
Nah, you don't believe it.
No, I don't believe it. I do believe it, because if we would have beat in Centerville, we were up, I think we were up like 8 in the fourth. I can't remember because it was a long time ago, but if we would have won that game, we're playing
each other.
Basically. Yeah. So,
we would have been.
I can dig it. You know what I mean? It's, you know. How do you feel about that? Because you didn't get to play the game.
Right. Didn't get to play the game.
So, how do you feel about it?
Well, when it first happened, I mean, that was a wild time.
So, for people that don't know, this is at the beginning of the pandemic. COVID. Yeah. COVID hit. There was uncertainty. We weren't sure, you know, if we were going to be able to play games. We thought we were going to be able to play a game, and they canceled you guys like a few days beforehand, right?
Yeah. So you go back to when the NBA, it was like a Thursday. Mm-hmm. I was up watching film, and then at like 10 p.m., it felt like maybe 11, something like that. That's when all the leagues started to cancel. So the NBA was first, maybe. Anyway, they were like, yeah, we're not playing any more games. We're going to postpone we're going to postpone the season. At that moment, I was like, yo, are we going to be able to get to Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
We supposed to play a Saturday, like 2 o'clock.
Oh, so this was on a Thursday. Okay.
It was like a Thursday, yeah.
And they shut you down quick.
Yeah, because they, I believe, if you look at the state, I think class 1A and 2A played, because they played Thursday, and it was like 3-4 Friday, and then 5-6 Saturday. So I think the 2020 champion of class 1A and 2A, they have a title. They have a single
game played. Okay.
Game played, you know what I mean? I wanted to play the game.
But how do you feel about it? You guys obviously put the work in through the year to get to that point.
Yeah.
So how do you feel when people say it's, you know, there's an asterisk, which technically there is, but it's not your fault. You had no control over it.
Yeah.
Do you guys think you would have won that game?
Yeah, I do.
You think so?
I do.
South County, I mean, Centerville was good, man.
They were tough. They were tough. I mean,
you had a good squad, though.
We did. I mean, the difference for us, because the guard for them who came back the year after, Chris Kuzma, come off a knee injury,
mm-hmm.
wasn't on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So our advantage was at the guard spot, where they had two tough wing forward guys. But we did, too. You know what I mean? So it was like, let's just say they cancel each other out.
Sure.
I feel like our advantage was there on the guard spot.
Okay.
If I had to pick. You know what I mean? But again, no one's going to know. I know Coach Harris is going to be like, look at here, bro. You can go to Blacktop, right? You know what I mean? So,
that's cool. All right, man. Let's get back to the hateful job, the new job.
Yeah.
You've had, which I guess it all leads back to this. You've had some great success on teams. You won a state championship at South County. Hayfield just coming off a state championship, coached by Carlos Poindexter. You've had the opportunity to work with some great coaches. You've been around great coaches. You're going to continue to be with a great coach, Carlos Poindexter, and a great team who basically he's bringing back a lot of the stud, two very good players, both first team, all district, all state. Were they both?
Yeah, I think they're both all state.
32, 23.
Yeah.
That's exciting. So my question to you is, talk about some of the things that you've learned personally being around some of these coaches, some of these players. And then if you want, talk to the younger coaches coming up and any advice you may want to give them.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll start with the advice side of it, because it kind of ties into everything that I've learned. The biggest thing is, like, don't be afraid to fail. And it's going to suck. It's going to be embarrassing. But some of the best wins or the greatest learning things come from being like, oh, I messed that up.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But that being said, I was coaching at Gallaudet University, 2010, coached there for 2 years. And he was like, yo, I want you to scout. I want you to do all the scout report stuff. And I said, okay, I got you. And this is, two, 3 years out of college. So, like, I didn't really know how to watch film. So he'd help me break it down and stuff like that. So then I get to South County, and I'm the head junior varsity coach. And he sends out an email and says, hey, guys, film is up on West Springfield. And I was trained just to, like, break down film. Like, I just thought that's what I was supposed to do. But I was just a JV coach. So I broke down the film. I come to practice, and I give the varsity staff this whole scouting report, player number, tendencies like that. He's like, oh, like, I need you on my bench with me now. But I literally thought that there was going to be, like, 7 scouting reports coming to the practice.
Sure.
And it was just one. You know what I'm saying?
You're doing what you're supposed to do and fell into an opportunity.
Fell into the opportunity. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? So kind of like just diving in and taking responsibilities will kind of lead you to other things.
100%.
So that's how I was able to grow as a coach in that regard. Mm-hmm. But in that scouting, I've taken so many plays. I've learned so much from other coaches without them actually talking to me. Like sure. Just seeing how they run their program, seeing how they handle star players, how they handle their bench. What are they doing warm-ups? Like how do coaches use that 20 minutes? That's a long time. You play 20 games, 20 times 25. Are you getting something out of that warm-up time? Or what do guys do? So I have to kind of follow a lot of coaches and just see what they do.
Sure.
And then Coach Meat, because of him, I've like, so like whenever we play late Braddock, I have my toughest time like scouting. I got all your stuff down. I know what you do. I know who goes where, but he always adds something. Like after a timeout, or maybe at the end of the quarter, he calls something. I'm like, I haven't seen this, or he'll switch players, certain positions. I'm like, oh, like I have to get away from just like scouting the play,
mm-hmm.
but scout like reads,
sure,
and different things like that. But like, so how are we going to defend a flare if they do a flare?
Sure.
So when it happens, guys are just doing it instead of being like, oh, well, coach said he's going to dribble over here and then they're going to screen here. It's like,
yeah. You got to get a feel. You got to get a flow.
Exactly. So what's happening. Absolutely. Exactly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I've grown as a coach, just by scouting.
That's a solid answer, man.
That's the truth.
That's a good answer. It's a solid answer. Keep to continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, I mean, but that's basically, I mean, I can go down different examples, but it's really, it's like, oh, I need to change how I scout teams.
Okay.
Because it's more than just what you run. It's like, okay, what, like in the third quarter, are they giving the guy the ball here? What are they different? You know, now high school is a little different because you got like stars on teams and then, you know, guys that fill in the spots. But when you think about it, if they're well coached, that fourth or fifth guy, they could have sets for him. And how do you defend that and all that kind of stuff? So
I can dig it. All right. Well, you mentioned something in that Gallaudet.
Yeah.
But that was your first coaching job?
That was my second. So my first job out of college, I was the assistant at Oakton.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Did I know that?
One year at Oakton.
I'm sure.
I didn't tell too many people. No, I'm kidding. It's all love, Cougars.
I'm sure I knew that at some point. You were at Oakton. So how was that experience? Talk about that experience and talk about Gallaudet and how you got
okay.
there.
Yeah. So at Oakton, that's when I knew that I still loved the game, and it was cool getting experience from the sideline. But then I also learned that I need to grow up if I'm going to coach. Because at 23, like the relationship you have with the kids is different. Like you can't be their friend.
Sure.
You have to relate to them, but you can't be their friend. So at 23, I didn't really understand that. And so I was like, oh, like this is different. I gotta like really change how I approach practice.
Sure.
In games and how I approach these interactions with these kids. So that was a good learning experience. The team, you know, we started a freshman point guard. We just weren't very good. You know, but then when I got to Gallaudet, I was able to kind of flourish. Like it's college, we're traveling. I got to see how he recruits. And there's, you know, Gallaudet's school for the deaf and hearing impaired.
I was going to say, make sure you kind of tell people what's going on at Gallaudet, because that's a unique experience.
Yeah, it was, man, unique is the word, you know. And like, what's funny is back then you're like, oh, when I have kids, I don't, you know, you want your kid to be healthy. And I always had this perception of like, well, if they can't hear, like that's like a quote unquote bad thing. When you get there, you're like, oh, it's just a different way of communicating.
Sure.
Like these kids are as normal, can hoop. Like it was great.
Do you know sign language?
I did.
Kind of lost it.
You know, it's been 10 plus years now.
I remember that you invited me to a game and it was my first time. And I knew what Gallaudet was and you know, kind of the stuff that's going on. Not the stuff, but I knew what the school was about.
Yeah.
But I'd never been to a game. And I remember walking on campus and going through a door. I was close to the gym. And I was like, I don't know who I talked to, but I was like, can you help me get to the gym? And I don't know if it was an older lady, but she just kind of said, follow the sound. And I was like, oh. And the speakers were blaring. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
The music was unbelievably loud. Absolutely. And you said it's because they can feel kind of the bass.
Vibration.
Oh, yeah. I was in that.
Feel the vibration. And
it was a lot. It shocked me for a second. Yeah. But I locked it.
Yeah. And they have a great facility too.
It's very nice.
It's a real nice gym.
It's very nice.
But also you only have to be like 20% deaf to qualify to get into the institution.
Oh really?
So not every player was 100% deaf.
Oh, okay.
So we had guys with hearing aids, things like that. But
okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with AJ. And we're back. You guys have been listening to some awesome information from AJ. You guys are listening to Thick As Threes. We're going to keep the conversation going. AJ, how you feeling? You good?
I'm good, man. Good.
All right, man. I'm not throwing too much at you?
No, I'm good.
You good? Okay, good. Cool. In the last section, you talked about coaching. You touched on this a little bit more. But what made you want to get into coaching? And talk about some of your influences then and now.
Okay, yeah. You know, getting into coaching, I kind of just like fell into it. Like, I just love the bat, you know, love hooping, love the game. I got an opportunity, like I mentioned, to get my first coaching job because my high school coach, his nephew was like the head coach over there. So he's like, do you want to coach? Like, I think you'd be good at it. I was like, oh, sure. Like, opportunity to just like be around basketball.
Who is this?
Charlie Thompson.
Okay.
Yeah, Charlie Thompson.
Is Charlie still around?
He's not coaching, but he's around.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Talk to him every now and then.
You know, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
And we can talk about that transition from meet to Thompson as well. But anyway,
it was a rough one, wasn't it?
Oh man, it's crazy.
We don't need to talk.
Yeah,
about
okay.
That. We don't need to talk about it. We're gonna go there.
off mic.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I kind of fell into it, and then the head coach at Gallaudet was looking for an assistant, and then my college coach was like, "Hey," so my college coach was played for my high school coach to kind of give you the kind of web of everything is. So when Lee won the state championship in 1980, Charlie Thompson was the head coach, and my college coach, Rod Wood, played for him over at Lee. So all that intertwined where now the Gallaudet coach was coaching against Mary Washington, where I played.
Gotcha.
It's like, yo, you know anybody that wants to coach? Hey, my ex-point guard's coaching here. That's how I got into it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean,
it all kind of worked out.
Kind of worked out. Nice. Yeah, I mean, so I was kind of given my passion before I knew it was what I was going to be passionate about to experience it. That's how I got into it.
Sure.
Yeah. What was the other part of the question? I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Influences.
Influences, yeah. Coming up from a coach's standpoint, just recently kind of getting influenced by people. Like, I've really started diving into podcasts and books and things like that. Because what I found is that, like, every coach knows the X's and O's. So, like, being a great coach, like, I don't think it's that. Or coming into it, I thought, like, oh, I got to have, like, great sets and stuff like that. But I really think it's – I feel like you got to tap into something in the culture. You know, culture is a term used a lot.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with you.
But it's something you got to tap into to figure out, like, what makes your guys tick and what's going to help them post-basketball career.
Absolutely.
And then once – when they feel that, then guys will come in and buy into – being physical and all the other stuff that helps gonna help you win a game. But I think you got to figure out what that is on that part. So reading these books and things like that. And shout out to my guy. I played ball with John Pierce. He's a head coach out in San Diego. And he's the one that really like opened my eyes to like exploring all this stuff. You know, cause we played with each other. So we have a lot of the same foundational basketball things. But he's like, man, I'm listening to this podcast. I'm reading this book about, you know, fast break with two guys on one side. And like there's like 100 ways to do this. And through finding out different ways to do things, I found inspirational ways to like coach and be and like how to motivate guys. So
sure.
So yeah, so shout out to him.
So what you're saying is basically you're out to search for a high level of education through different venues, different forms of information that you can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's very cool.
Absolutely. Because I do have a passion to coach at the high school level. Be a head coach. And like at the high school level, it's not like you can go and recruit, you know, you're going to get the kids you get. What's up?
No comment.
This guy's nuts.
No comment. Continue.
this guy's crazy. Hey, bartender, cut him off.
Continue.
Anyway.
I hear. So do you want to, I'm sorry to cut you off. Do you want to coach again in college someday? Is that something you want to do?
It's something that I'm willing to do. You got to have more family buy-in though, because like that's a whole another level of absolutely. Like family separation, right?
Absolutely.
Now that being said, you know, my kids are 6 and 4, so let's say 10 years from now, which I'm putting a timeline, so I don't have control over, but let's say 10 years from now, 16 and 14, that may be something that makes sense for us.
Sure.
Or maybe it's their 18 and 20, and now, you know, who knows?
Conversation's different.
Yeah, conversation's different.
You I can know dig what it. Mean? I can dig it.
But going back to the, oh, so yeah, so with that being said, not being able to recruit, like if you have a five guards, no one over 6'2", how do you get post up and paint touches and all those kinds of things? Or if you have a whole bunch of slow guys that are all 6'4", how do you get the ball across half court? How do you handle pressure? How do you, so now I'm like, let me just learn a bunch of stuff. And like, when I see something I like, how can I implement it or tweak it to make it work for the guys I have?
That's beautiful. You know, it's not the same thing, but I relate that to some of the players at Lake Braddock and then some of the players that I see. Obviously, I asked you about coaching, but I'm talking specifically about players. Just no creativity to their game. And it's because they don't educate themselves. They don't work on the game. They don't ask questions about the game. They don't search out further information. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's just, and I try to tell our kids, that's a simple thing. That goes from, you know, making the right play on a layup. Like, are you going to go with your inside hand or your outside hand? And for them, it's always the outside hand. And that's the wrong play because there's no creativity to their game because they don't have anything in their mental Rolodex to go to in that moment.
Absolutely.
So you talking about trying to figure out how to play with 6'4s or how to play with 6'2s or 5'11s or whatever the case may be, because you've educated yourself on that, you can then tap into that. And it just seems natural. It's a flow which helps you as a coach and then it helps them as players.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When you think about the players, like I feel like there's two types of players now. There's a guy that trains moves and he's very robotic.
Steve hates those players.
You know what I'm saying?
Steve hates those players.
And then there's guys that need 10 dribbles.
Shout out Miles.
To make a move.
Steve hates those players too.
Yeah, but that's kind of how things are built now, right? So it's like you're going to take a dribble to the elbow, go between your legs, whatever like that. And so when I train kids, it's like, you know, you start with the foundational block and you build up. But when you watch a kid go, so let's say you just go like catch, rip, 1-2, shoot it. If you say rip and then put it between the legs, that rip is slow.
Sure.
You're trying to go between the legs. It's like, sure. No, that's not how this works.
Sure.
This is game, right?
Sure.
If every player could just take one dribble, make a layup, they'd do that 80 times, be the leading scorer in the nation.
Sure.
But you can't. So you have to be able to make different moves, assuming that your first move works. Then they cut it off, then you adjust.
Sure.
And so it's like, how do you build? You got to build those players. And kids look at the NBA a lot. Well, the NBA has a lot of guys that can create an advantage off of one pass. High school level, you may need a couple screens to create the advantage that you need. So I need you to learn how to pass it. I need you to learn how to cut hard, all those kinds of things. So
I can dig it.
Yeah.
That leads into my next question. Let's talk about your college career going backwards, then talk about your high school career. So let's talk about some of the experiences you had. I was a college basketball player as well, so I kind of can relate to some of the things that you are potentially going to talk about. But let's talk about that. Touch on how your college career went.
College career was good. I would love to say great, but you know, we didn't win any conference championships. Lost in the conference finals my freshman year, and then lost in the semis the next 3 years, which is crazy. That's tough. But overall, that was a great experience. I remember my first practice, though, like except August, whatever. I was like, oh, this ain't like my recruiting visit. You know, and then it's funny, 4 years after that, you realize, or 2 years after that, you realize why your recruiting visit was different than like the practice.
Sure.
Because you come in on the Saturday morning, dude's out Friday night. Like, who's this little kid, whatever? Like, oh, you think he nice? All right. Come in August. This Bama got clamps. Like, this is different. I'm not strong. Like, you know what I mean? So, but through all that, you know, my junior year was probably one of my best years, but I ended up getting a stress fracture in my ankle.
Okay.
We played and it was like a Christmas tournament. The tip off was like 8 o'clock, 8, 9 o'clock. Went into two overtimes and we lost. Because you lost, you got to play in the consolation at like 1 o'clock. So we get back to the hotel. At this point, for like weeks now, 3 weeks, I'm like, I got to heat my ankle, do all this mobility stuff, do all these stretches, run around before I can even play a game.
Mm-hmm.
But since we're on the road, we get back late, we get up late, get to the gym at like noon, and I couldn't play. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't move it. Like it was, you know. So I go to the doctor. Doctor's like, you don't want to hear this, like, it's just a structure, so you're fine. But if you had rolled it one time, you'd had a compound fracture and you broke your ankle. Like, it was like halfway, stress fractures are halfway across my ankle. Right?
That's big time.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. But so I missed 6 games. Now, I finished that year, or in my career, I finished averaging like 14 a game.
Okay.
If you do the math, it was like, if I had played them 6 games, assuming I played well enough to maintain my average, I would score 1,000 points.
Mm. You know, came up short.
Came up short.
What was the number?
920, 925, something like that. Yeah, yeah. So it was like, comes to like 12 to 14 points a game, something like that, somewhere in there. So people watch, listening, do the math, whatever that number is, that's what it is, right?
Do you still think about that?
It's funny. I only think about it when like people put up their like resumes for like jobs and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because that stuff never mattered to me.
Okay.
But I'm like, man, I should have went and played here and sat the bench. And then, because this guy is a Division One athlete, didn't play anything. But he's like, oh, I played Division One basketball. Mm-hmm. Or this guy scored 1,000 points. It's like, should I put more focus on that if I know I'd been coaching? Just to say that I was, you know.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Continuing with your college.
Yeah.
You said your junior year was probably your best year?
Yeah, because that's when everything truly clicked. And, okay. and we had the pieces around, right? So my freshman year, I was a backup point guard. Conference championship game was probably one of my best games. I only had 8 points, though, but it was
as
like—
As a freshman.
As a freshman.
Okay.
And it was just like everything was clicking. Like it was like that moment where like the game wasn't too big anymore.
Okay.
You know, like I had like that ebbs and flows, which kids want things to work right away. But that freshman year was like adjusting to the strength, the speed, all that stuff.
Sure.
But that game, it was like, of all the games, the biggest game of the year, it like clicked. Like the game felt slow. I was able to get where I needed to get, score, all that kind of stuff. Sophomore year, we didn't have anybody that could back me up. So I was playing 37 minutes a game.
Good.
Which sounds great.
It's good.
I mean, it's, you were playing, right? So it was great. And, you know, and we were good. Like, we finished, you know, 20 and 10, something like that. So we had a decent year. But you're exhausted, though.
Sure.
So now you have these, like, last 5-6 minute stretches where, and in the games, where you're not productive or you're not as efficient because you've been playing so many minutes. So then junior year, we finally get somebody in who not only helps me out in practice going against them every day, but now in the games, now I can sit for 3 minutes, come back in, you know, so it was a lot different. And I was shooting the ball. I mean, I think my, like, 43% from three. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, if I shot it, it was probably going to go in.
Nice.
Which is a lot better than sophomore year. It's like 39%. Ah, chill.
Congratulations.
But, yeah, but that's why, like, junior year is probably one of my better years because it all came together.
Okay.
Then. So, yeah.
Okay.
And I played at the University of Mary Washington. I don't know if we talked about that. But
we did talk about that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But that's people need to know that information. Let's move backwards. You come out of Hayfield. You graduated what year?
2003.
2003. Talk about some of your high school experiences.
High school was cool because I didn't become good at basketball until I was in like eighth grade. Like seventh grade, I sucked. Okay. I was lame. It's terrible.
That didn't give you a lot of time, man.
It didn't.
Okay.
It didn't.
All right.
So shout out to my pops for this one. So quick little story. So I went and tried for AU team going into eighth grade. Right. So it was like a bunch of Mount Vernon basketball guys, which at the time Mount Vernon was nice.
Okay.
And they had some dogs. And I made it to the last cut. And that's my first like, oh, like I can hoop a little bit now. Like I was playing well, everything was clicking. So I can, you know. But I still, because I didn't think I was good. Like I could shoot it, but I didn't have any confidence. I was just a guy that you pick up middle of the road. So that moment I got cut, my pop's like, all right, look, what we're going to do. I'm going to put you in two leagues. Put you in a league where you can dominate, and I'm putting you in a league where we got to get after it. So the league where I was scoring 30 was out in Annandale.
Okay.
And then I played for Lee Rec Center in downtown Alexandria.
Okay.
And those games are amazing. You play all different rec centers. So you play a Cork Kelly, Ramsey, all this stuff like that. And those games are like, when you think about the Titans, the TC Titans, like that was like every Saturday, that was it.
Mm.
And so I earned my stripes there, my confidence, coupled with this other league I'm playing in where I'm dominating, but together kind of gave me that like growth and like thing. So shout out to my pops for that.
Nice.
You know?
That's very cool.
And so that was like the start of like me becoming a real good basketball player. You know what I'm saying? So I played freshman year, Because, you know, Meat said, if you only play varsity, if you're a freshman, you play freshman or you play varsity. I'm not bringing nobody up to JV. Sophomores play JV and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So freshman year, I played freshman. We were not allowed to shoot threes.
Who was your coach?
Yeesh.
You don't remember?
I do.
Who? Say it.
It's my guy.
Who?
It's my guy.
Who is your coach?
I don't know. There we go. All right. So, anyway, we're in live shoot threes.
Oh, my God. All right. God.
We're in live shoot threes.
What year was this?
2000.
Okay.
So, that was the last time we went to state championship game before now.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm going to do the research.
Yeah, it's fine.
I can continue.
But so, I go a year, basically, and I was playing, like, the wing or whatever like that. Well, my freshman year, couldn't shoot threes.
Okay.
Sophomore year, play varsity, come off the bench. Funny story, sophomore year is the last time that I ever accepted being sick or hurt.
Okay.
So we get down to, this funny story too, and I'm mad at my girl Victoria for taking this picture too. So sophomore year, they did this whole story on me and Mike, sophomores playing varsity. I'm playing the whole year. I'm a backup point guard, so I'm playing like 10, 12 minutes a game.
Okay.
But I'm getting in though, sophomore.
Sure.
And then I get sick. And I don't even remember what I was sick of or how sick I was at this point in my life. So therefore, I wasn't sick enough. I miss practice. And then somebody steps up into my minute. So then we play Robinson at home, last regular season game of the year. And I guess they had to get these pitchers in. They got a pitcher of Mike knocking down the three. Got a pitcher of me on the bench in a warm-up. It's in the school newspaper. Sophomores on varsity. This is bullshit. It's not true. You know what I mean?
It was true at the time.
It was very true at the time. But again, talking about failing adversity, I was like, I'll never be sick enough.
Sure.
To let someone step in front of me.
Sure.
You know, and shout out to him for doing what he had to do. But so, and then go junior, we changed coaches. Meat left to go over to Lake Braddock where he is now. Charlie Thompson comes in, start junior senior year. We win the region. Junior year, losing state championship. I mean, losing the state semifinals that year. Senior year, we lose to Scotty Reynolds and Herndon, the regionals. That team was tough. They had a tough squad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was high school, man. That was it. That was it, man. It's a high school career, man. That's it, man. I was just a guy, man. Like, I had stars around me.
Your last 2 years of high school ended rough. You ended with, your junior year was J.J. Redick.
J.J. Redick,
and then your senior year was Scotty Reynolds.
Scotty Reynolds, yeah.
J.J. Redick went on to play at Duke. NBA player for 15 years.
Yeah.
Scotty Reynolds went on to play at Villanova. He was the player of the year at one point.
Yeah, player of the year at one point. He played with the Jazz for a little bit. And then he got stuck in China for something, and he couldn't come back to try for somebody else. But like, he was
a NBA, he's a pro. That's a rough two guys, 2 years. Yeah. What can you do,
man?
You can't do anything.
Just stay in the gym, I guess. Be better.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. You guys have been listening to Thick As Threes. I'm your host, Cornell Felton, and I'm here with AJ Fitzgerald. AJ.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, man, for being here.
I appreciate you, man. This is great.
You've given a lot of great information. I think people that listen to this are going to be very entertained, fulfilled with information. So it's been good. So I have a couple more questions, and we'll get out of here.
All right.
You kind of touched on... this was going to be my last question, but your love for basketball. Yeah. You said that kind of came eighth grade year after not being so talented. You thought your seventh grade year.
I was a bum.
I wasn't going to say that, but okay.
You got to live your truth, man.
Listen, I like it. Let's talk about, where are you from? I've known you for a long time. Were you born here in Virginia?
Yeah, born in Virginia. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Talk about your home life, and did you play any other sports growing up?
So for the most part, I played basketball all the time. I did touch the diamond and played rec league baseball for a year, which was fun. Like, I kind of wish I kept playing baseball throughout high school, but I just chose basketball, did that whole single sport thing. But I did play baseball for a year, made the all-star team.
Your eighth grade, ninth grade year, I'm going to say I'll start with the summer before your junior year high school. Mm-hmm. What goals did you set for yourself? What did you foresee the plan being for the next 2 years of high school? And was it always your intention to play college basketball?
You know, it's funny. I look back on that. I don't think I ever thought about playing college basketball. I knew I wanted to keep playing. And, of course, college is a thing. But it wasn't like, yo, let me go out here. And as I'm going through my reps and game speed and doing that, I'm thinking about college basketball. I kind of was like, yo, our schedule, we got, you know, TC and this down schedule. Like, I'm trying to be dominant against them, you know. And so I never thought about college until the letters, few of them, handful, start, you know, coming in. It's like, oh, yeah, I can actually do this.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, very cool. AJ, I obviously, you know that I played as well.
At a high level. Come on, man.
Hopefully at a high level. And I played a few years before you. So my question is to you, what do you feel is the best, and I use best for lack of a better word, but what do you think is the best thing that has come out of your basketball experiences, starting from the eighth grade through your high school years, through your college years, through the last 10 years plus of you coaching high school basketball? What's the best thing that you think has come out of all this?
The best thing, how to handle adversity.
Okay.
And kind of tapping back into those moments when you didn't feel like you could run another 17, when life, you know, because life's going to punch you in the face. And it's like, it's funny because in those moments you're running these sprints, you're like, yo, how am I going to run down and back again and make this time? It's like, it's impossible. And you do it and it's a win, right? But it's like, and you look back now, I'm like, there's no way I can run a 17 right now. It's not happening. Like, so it's like, how did I do that? And so you kind of tap in those moments,
sure,
when life is like, you know, smack you in the face.
Sure.
So probably adversity of trying to grow and be successful in the sport is kind of something that I take from that.
That's beautiful, man. All right, AJ, thank you so much for being here. We're going to close the show. You will get the final word. And what I mean by the final word is you can basically talk about anything you want to talk about. If I missed anything that you want to touch on, if you have something inspirational that you want to talk about, you can do whatever you want for the next however long you want. So, guys, you have been listening to Thick as Threes. Once again, I'm your host, Cornell Felton. I don't do this show alone. I do it with Steve Miles, Stanley Allen, and Coach Bobby Terry. They couldn't be here with me today, but I'm sure they wanted to be. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Thick as Threes. We'll have some stuff up online after this this interview, so make sure you connect with us. We will tag AJ to that. Make sure you send him some messages. Make sure you guys take a listen to this. This is good stuff. AJ,
you yes,
have
sir.
The final word. Go.
Final words. Let's see here. Well, two things: choose happiness and choose peace of mind. All right, whatever that is for you, you will end up on the right side of the equation. You know, handle adversities, use it as a learning lesson, and choose happiness and peace of mind.
Perfect, guys. We'll see you next time. Be great. Peace.
Oh, thank you,
AJ. That was great, man. I appreciate that. But let's get down to it, the important question.
All right, let's go.
Hayfield won state championship.
Did
you? You heard the interview with Carlos.
I did.
I asked him. He didn't really have a good answer. Is this the best Hayfield team ever?
It is. It is. And the reason why is because of how great the previous teams were before them that couldn't do it.
Okay, that's fair.
Like working backwards, respect to the, I think, like 05 team, the 09 team that had, I'm sorry, 09 working back, 09 team that had the little like grade issue. They were undefeated, mm-hmm, before they got kicked out. The 05 team in the region, my 02 team, 2000, go back to like 98. Those are teams that, like, if you could just like create this back to when we were that age, we could all get after it. You know what I mean? And we would all have a good game against the current team itself. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? We were all constructed kind of the same, like talent across the board. but they did it.
No, they absolutely did it, and that's what you have to give them credit for, because at the end of the day, they were 32-0 and won the state championship.
State championship.
But
what's up?
Your best five versus this five at your prime and them right now, who wins one game?
So let's go. So like, so my, we'll take my junior team, right? We went to state semifinals. All right. So, oh man, I'm trying to think who guarding who, what we doing. It's pretty even, bro.
You think so?
It's pretty even, man. Cause what's funny is because Claxton and King
okay.
are very similar in styles of play.
Okay.
Jamar Claxton, quick off the floor, little, he's about 6'2", low undersized, but a bull. Stewart, 6'4", wing, kind of like Greg. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. we had plays where he'd, like, set a back screen just to pop out and get a three. Like, so he had that. He was the stretch four before that was a thing in the early 2000s. You know what I'm saying? Mike is just Mike. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, he's, you know, he's going to do what he do. And Chris. Put Chris on whoever.
Sure.
You pick one of the five.
Sure.
Put Chris on them, and Chris is going to dog him.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
If I was coaching that team, I'd probably put Chris on Braylon just because of the type of energies they have. Like, they're kind of the same. They built the same. Like, they got that same edge to them.
Who wins the game? Who wins the game?
Well, I'm always going to say me. But they just want to stay championship. So I have to give love and respect to these young men, what they did.
Fair enough.
Man, I'm too old now. Okay.
Respect. All right. We're out of here. Peace.